Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
You know, I'm not going to go into detail, but all about how when you do small things in life, the huge impact you can have on people's lives and this ripple effect. And I think that this story is very much like that. So I'd like to welcome Jana Petzer, who's the warrior, and Letitia Janse van Vuren, who is her mother. Welcome, ladies. It is so fabulous to have you on the show.
Hi, Nikki. Thanks for having us. This is Janai speaking.
And good afternoon to you and good afternoon to the listeners. This is Letitia speaking.
Well, it's wonderful, wonderful to have you on the show. I'd like to start off with you, Janai, because you, when you were much younger, you were diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And yes, that can't be easy for a young 7-year-old girl to be told that her life has to be turned upside down. What was that like for you?
I must say, because I was only old, it's hard to answer that question today. It's been 25 years, so I don't really know life without diabetes, but we've had our ups and downs, and today I can just say that I'm healthy, I'm a mom, but yes, there were definitely some changes that needed to be done. But everything worked out for the best.
Yeah. And as you say, everyone was so supportive and so wonderful. You were then told that you had to have a kidney transplant. Is that normal with type 1 diabetes, that it affects the kidneys?
Yes. The doctor said normally the first organs that takes the most hammering are the kidneys. So it was quite a shock to hear that you need a kidney transplant. I mean, it's not like you can go to a shop and buy a set of new kidneys. But like everything we face in life, especially our family support, yeah, we knew that it's a new mountain to climb, but we will get to the end.
Yeah. And Janai, how old were you at the time when you were told that you had to get a new kidney or, I presume, go on dialysis?
No, luckily I asked the doctor, please, can we just see that I can skip the dialysis? So I was 27 years old when they told me I had to have a kidney transplant. And it was only like one year after my wedding. So you are still supposed to be in your honeymoon phase. And then me and my husband needed to face a kidney transplant. So that wasn't really in our plans. But yes, I was 27 years old. It is about 6 years ago.
I mean, that's so young, as you say, just a year into your marriage, and now you have to think about that. And we know just how challenging that is, because of course there's this donor list, and then you've got to get onto the donor list, and you could wait a long time. That's why I ask about the dialysis, because sometimes when people are waiting for the kidney, it takes so long, they eventually have to go on to dialysis, and then it's, you know, the kidney, getting a new kidney is not an option. But this is where your mother stepped in. Tell us about, let me bring in Letitia at this part of the conversation, if you don't mind, Janai. Letitia, welcome. It's so lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Is it like when you have such a young daughter, just a year into her marriage, and she's told that she has to have a new kidney? She needs to get a kidney donated.
Janai came back from the doctor and she said she wanted to speak to us, me and my husband. And we thought now she's going to tell us that she's pregnant. And that's when she told us that she needs a kidney. And I mean, there's really lots of damage and that she needs to go on dialysis. But, you know, we've got very, very strong faith. And the first thing that went through my mind, that maybe is the purpose of my life, because I'm quite healthy. I exercise from the age of 4. So I'm in range with my diet and with my weight. I've never been sick. I don't drink. I don't smoke. So the first thing that went through my mind is that is the purpose in my life, God chose me to do this. So I don't even think it was quite a shock, because I mean there was no second question, I'm not going to do it, because we from the first, it took us a year to go through all the tests, because when she got married, we just said, please, we don't want the transplant before. Her sister got married 2 years after that, and we said, please, we don't want the kidney transplant just before her sister's wedding, because she was a bridesmaid, and we scheduled the kidney transplant 2 weeks after her sister's wedding. And you know, we wow. went through ups and downs, because you have to be imagine everything. So as soon as we see, okay, now we can schedule the operation, then suddenly there was a rise in the kidney number, and your kidney, the number of the kidney has to be a certain number before they can do the transplant. It has to be below 10, and then suddenly the next week she's at 14 again, and then they said, no, they can't do the transplant, we must wait a few. And then 2 weeks after that, some of the tests you need to do, it must be new tests. For example, you can't use an old test of 3 months ago. You need to go through all the new tests again. So it took us a year to do all the ups and downs and all the matching. And yeah, now we just believe that the final match is the night before the transplant, and that is the only match that must be negative. And yeah, it goes through your mind that God won't take us through this route, and it's going to be a positive match. And the last night, I said, no, that's the only test that must be negative, and it was negative. And the next morning, 5 o'clock, they started with a 6-hour process operation for both me. So it was quite a difficult time for my husband, because his wife is in the one theater, and Renee was in the other theater waiting for the kidney. So it was quite traumatic for my husband sitting in the waiting area.
I mean, for your husband, his wife and his daughter going in for these for 6 hours. And I believe, Letitia, that it's much harder for the person who is donating the kidney than for the person who is receiving the kidney. So, and you say that you've fit and you've always been fit. So what, and then Janae, will come to you. What was the recovery like?
It was quite easy for me. I always say, but maybe it's because it's your daughter, if I had 3 kidneys, I'll donate another kidney again. Because really, the whole operation, we felt like God just uplifted you. You saw it, the whole operation, through somebody else's eyes from the beginning. I mean, after 2 days, just after the operation, I told them I don't want any pain medication, because I started vomiting because the pain medication was so strong, and my body couldn't take that strong medication. So after 2 days, I said to the doctor, I want to go home, and they said, no, we can't go home. We must stay in the guest house in Pretoria. So if something does happen, I need to be nearby. And we stayed in a guest house for 4 days. The only thing that after that is, because I'm exercising quite a lot, I can't use a dumbbell, because they go through your muscles, your stomach muscles. They do cut it, your stomach muscles. And that was the only exercise I couldn't do. And then also my thyroid didn't work. That was the only negative thing. But I mean, you get medication for that. So it was quite a very smooth sailing after that. I recovered quite, I did walk quite, for 2 weeks you walk like somebody that's carrying something on your back, but I mean, it was smooth sailing all the way. I really can't complain.
Wow, just extraordinary, Letitia, just extraordinary. And for you, Janae, getting your mother's kidney, what a thing. I mean, what's it been like for you? What a journey.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey, and I'm even a bit emotional thinking about it and talking about it. I mean, it's the biggest gift I think any mother can give her daughter or her child. So my only worry was, what if my mom, something happens to her in theater? I think I couldn't live with the guilt after that if something should have happened to her.
Sure.
But we went into theater with a positive mind because my doctor said physically it's important for your body to accept the kidney, but emotionally as well. So emotionally, luckily, I knew I won't reject the kidney emotionally because it's my own mom. But my recovery went well. No problems after that at all. I've got a really caring husband. So we just had a really, really good journey, yes.
But of course, you've got to go on medication, right? Because you never want the body to reject the kidney. So you've got to go on these like immunosuppressants. And I'm just wondering how that affects you, because I know that you fulfilled a life dream being a teacher and love teaching. But that did kind of change your life, didn't it?
It did. Not the diabetes. You know, I knew I wanted to be a teacher, even though I was a diabetic. But because of the kidney transplant, I don't have an immune system because of the anti-rejection medication that I'm taking. So it makes me quite vulnerable for any diseases. And, you know, children, they go to school sick, they've got a running nose. So I'm quite a soft target to get any bugs or viruses at school. So I had to resign from the teaching, which was really bad. But my dad gave me the opportunity to work for him from home. And that's really the best thing for me, to focus on my work, my child, and my health as well.
Yeah. And, you know, you say my child, and I started off the interview talking about how extraordinary people can be and the support and connection and community. And you know, when you talk about your child, it didn't just happen, because, of course, when you wanted to fall pregnant, there was this issue, the kind of negative impact it could have on your health. So your doctor suggested that you shouldn't go for the pregnancy, but you chose another option. Perhaps you can share with our audience.
Yeah, that was quite a big shock, because since me and my husband, we met, we talked about having children. We are quite family orientated, so we couldn't wait to become parents. And the doctor, after the kidney transplant, she said, please just don't get pregnant in 1 year's time. Just let the kidney settle. So we just said, okay, for 1 year, we're not going to think about children. We're not going to talk about it. And after 1 year, I went to the doctor and said, okay, it's been 1 year. So what's the next step for me to become pregnant? Because I know if you are planning to become pregnant, they need to change your medications, because some of the tablets might or is dangerous for the fetus. So they need to change your doses and everything. And then she said she wouldn't recommend me becoming pregnant. So that was quite a shock. And we said, okay, but what can we do? She said, no, there's lots of options. You can adopt. Surrogacy is an option. Now, surrogacy is not a word you hear every day. So we didn't even really know what does it contain, how does it work. But from the day she said we need to consider surrogacy, it's just like everything fell into place. So my husband, luckily, he was all for the idea, to say at least he will know that his wife is healthy until the very day of the birth. And the next thing was, where do we begin? So she said, just phone a surrogacy lawyer and she'll walk you through the process. And the first thing she said was, the thing that takes the longest for surrogacy is to find a surrogate. And they help you during the process to find a surrogate, and you yourself can find one. And I really didn't have someone in that time in my life that I will have the guts to ask, will you please be my surrogate? My sister is 4 years younger. She's not a mother yet, so she doesn't qualify. And I just took a chance and posted it on Facebook the one night, sharing my story, not really asking for a surrogate. And I think between 10 and 11, that very same night, my best friend from high school phoned me asking about my status. And I thought she was just curious to know about that. And I told her, and then she ended telling me she wants to do it for us. And that's when the journey started.
Wow, wow, wow. So your best friend from school said, I will be the surrogate. And I mean, it's what a story, honestly, Janae. And I think it's such a, you know, your whole journey, as we said, from when you were seven and you were diagnosed, it's just been, you've just been surrounded by all of this support. So with the surrogacy, am I correct in saying that it is one, your child has 100% your and your husband's genes?
Yes, it's absolutely, absolutely our genes. It's my husband's sperm, my egg. What is it? Egg. My egg. And the thing is, if you want to be a surrogate, the one qualification is you need to be a mom. So you should have children of your own. And my friend has two sons. And the nice thing is her sons was born with blonde hair. And the day of the birth of our son, he was dark-headed. Or dark hair. So at least we were sure that it's not hers. But me and my husband, we talked about surrogacy because it's quite weird. You trust this person with your baby. And before my friend phoned me and my husband, we talked about it. And I told him, there's just one thing that's really important to me, and that's that the surrogate will also be a Christian. And this friend of mine that phoned me, she's an incredible woman, faithful, a woman of God, and we couldn't have asked for a better surrogate.
My goodness. And tell me, I mean, what a thing for her to do. And tell me, were you a part of her pregnancy? I mean, it's one thing. I mean, your mom was saying she's so healthy. And it's one thing when it's your pregnancy, you watching what you're eating and your exercise. I mean, were you a neurotic, you know, a bystander? What was that process like?
You know, logistically, it was quite difficult because we are in Nelspruit and she's living in Potchefstroom. So that was quite bad, but we made sure we could attend every sauna. So, and you won't believe, before she phoned me, telling me that she will be our surrogate, we haven't spoken for like 3 or 4 years. So I was quite surprised when she phoned me, and our friendship really grew stronger in the time of the surrogacy because we got to see each other more often as well. So every time with every sauna, we went to Potchefstroom, we stayed the night with them in their house. We came back to Nelspruit. So we tried our best to go through the journey together. Yeah. And
What a story, Janae. And when you went to Potch and there was the birth and you took your son and you held him for the first time, how was that? You know, when she did, she hand him to you, you know, she did it for you. She was basically just the carrier, the vessel. But that must have been, you know, I'm interested to know how you handled that part of it.
You know what, still today I can't believe that someone is willing to be a surrogate. You know, I needed one, but I can't. It's really such a, what do you say? It's such a big gift to give that to someone. I mean, she made me a mother. So it was quite weird. The day of the birth, I put on my theater clothes and everything, and I just stood there in theater with my arms held out waiting for my baby. So I wasn't stressed about drips or a C-section or anything. And they gave me the baby, and her husband stayed with her. And I think 2 days after that, or a day after the birth, she came to us, she gave him a bottle, she held him. So it was nothing weird between us at all.
Just wonderful. And Janae, how old is your son now?
He is 3.5 years. He's turning 4 next year, February.
Wonderful.
And he looks just like his dad. So just like his dad, I told my husband, if he looks like him, it's fine. As long as he's got my brains and his looks, we are A4 away.
That's your priorities. Those are the priorities. I love it, Janae. Janae, thank you for what a story. I mean, really, what an amazing story. It's a story of faith. It's a story of belief. It's a story of love, of support, of resilience, of friendship, of giving of yourself. And I think that we need, you know, I think the world is sorely lacking in a lot of those areas. So I think you've inspired us. And just reminded us what it is to be human. Yeah, you have, Janelle.
Yeah.
Letitia, what an amazing mother you are.
No, definitely. I mean, she gave me the best gift. She always tells me if she could give me a pancreas, she would have given me that as well. And I needed to put a stop to it. She wanted to be my surrogate as well. But I said, no, that's too close to home. She already done her part. She gave me the kidney. But I must say, it's been a long journey, you know, since the year 2000 when I was diagnosed. And we've had our bad times, our trips to hospital, family, being in hospital over December, Christmas time, because I'm in hospital. But, I mean, life's got its ups and downs, but we really have a very good story to share, because at the end, beautiful. Everything worked out for the best.
Yeah, and please God, just a life of blessings. Janae, thank you so much. Letitia, thank you so much for sharing your story. We love these stories. So it's been wonderful having you on the show. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Nikki. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. God bless and take care. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. Janae Petzer, who's the warrior, the recipient of the organ, the kidney, and Letitia Jansa van Vuren, Janae's mother. And what a story, you know, mother, daughter, family, and then a best friend from school being the surrogate mother. It's just, as I said, remember these stories, remember what it is to be human and connected and in service and helping. Just beautiful reminders.